Campbell versus Gallo on TSN 690. I'm Mitch Gallo. Welcome back. Time to speak with our first guest of the day. Longtime NHL goalie, mostly with the Dallas Stars. Won almost 300 games. Member of our national team at both the Worlds and the Olympics. And a guy that I thought was robbed of the Vezina Trophy in 2003. We welcome into Campbell versus Gallo, Marty Turco. Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing? Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, I was looking back at your career and some of your great moments in the National Hockey League, and those numbers in 03 are really eye-popping. I think you were robbed of the Vezina Trophy.
Well, I was robbed, and GMs told me I was. And two things that happened. One, Marty Brodeur had never won one yet. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I think it's time that he actually wins one. I'm like, well, that makes no sense. And then two, the year before, Jose Théodore had won both the Vezina and Hart, and then he came back the next year and had a sub-average year, and they felt like, well, we don't like giving it to somebody who can't back it up, and they didn't want it to happen twice in a row, which wasn't going to happen. But anyway, that's what they told me to my face. I couldn't believe it, but nonetheless, it was a spectacular year.
Yeah, it was a great year, and you know, record-setting save percentage at the time, goals allowed, I think it was 1.72, just ridiculous numbers. And when you look back at your career, what would you say you're most proud about?
You know, that's a good one. Most proud about in my 30s, never missing a game, being healthy, working my tail off to be, even though I had a sore hip on most nights. And, you know, I just look at things, you know, I got paid to win games, not just stop the puck, and being healthy is a big proponent of that. You know, playing 65, 72, 73 games a year, you know, not missing time, but just being on good teams, doing my part to give ourselves a chance to win a cup. Brenda Morrow, you know, my best friend and our captain. We looked at the roster, we looked at each other, our leadership, and thought every year that we pretty much played, we had a chance to win, and those are good feelings. So we gave it our all, and just awesome that we had a chance to do it all in the great state of Texas. Never could imagine that in my lifetime growing up in Sault Ste. Marie, that I'd be now still living in Texas and absolutely love it, though. So playing in the NHL is an honor and a privilege. Didn't take it lightly, and looking back at it, it was a dream come true that I never even knew I had.
Yeah, well, what do you make of how guys that have gone to the Dallas Stars have loved being in that market and being with that team? Like, just couple weeks ago in free agency, the deal that Matt Duchene signed, clearly he could have gotten way more had he went elsewhere, but he wanted to stay in Dallas. We know the commitment Mikko Rantanen almost immediately gave the Dallas Stars and what that means for the franchise. It just seems like if you go to Dallas, you want to stay in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I think someone had a really cool comment recently about, you know, the taxes and no state tax and all that. Yeah, I mean, it does kind of matter, but that's not it. It's about quality of life. You mean, it's not a fishbowl for hockey per se, but it's a fishbowl of sports like crazy. There's so many athletes that just live there that never played for the Cowboys, Rangers, or Mavericks. They just like the city, they like the state. There's a lot of things there. Who knew? I wish I would have known 20 years ago, you know, start making money, that, you know, this Dallas and Texas will be the center of the economic boom. You know, right now, it would have done things a little bit differently, but it is a great place. We got great friends. People might not realize, you know, we've been there over 30 years. I haven't won a cup since 99. We, you know, like to change that, but it's just really is a great place, especially during the school year, right, which mirrors the hockey season. If you got kids, that it's a great, you know, great place to raise kids and have, you know, good weather for the most part. Summers get a little hot, but that's why I'm up in Ontario, Northern Ontario right now, my hometown, chilling out, having fun. But Dallas is a wonderful place, and we're just proud to call it home.
I know that you spent almost your entire career in the Western Conference, but do you have any good Bell Center memories?
The only good one I had was the one where I was backing up. Which I think is probably where you're going with it. But
no, I wasn't. You know what? I wasn't even going to go there, but it was such a great viral moment.
Yeah. It was viral before viral was a thing.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. I did get ticked off at it because by the time I got back to Chicago, my phone was buzzing the next morning, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And then 2 days later in the Chicago Sun or one of the papers, one of the big papers, it said, the headline said, Turco bets on game. I'm like, okay, this has gone way too far. It was a $5 friendly bet with a fan, and all the money went back to them. It was more of a joke. The person went on the radio saying they had a blast, never engaged with a player before, and we had bets going on. It was an overtime loss or win for the Canadians. But, you know, looking back, I think one of the most disappointing things was, you know, growing up in the East here, being in the Pacific Division, never mind the West, that, you know, we got the Montreal and Toronto, you know, Boston, New York, like, out of every 3 years, we'd skip them once in a while, and you know, you'd play back-to-back games. And even though I played most games back then, you know, I still had to miss a few, and you know, so probably only played Montreal a handful of times, and which is disappointing because that's you know, the birthplace of hockey, as far as we're concerned. You know, that's a cathedral, and you know, those are the best fans and the greatest hockey experience playing. You know. At the Bell Center, so kind of missed out on numerous games, but it was awesome being there.
And yeah, and too bad that what should have been just a fun thing with a fan turned into something completely different and irrelevant. But I think people realize that you're just having fun while backing up with the Chicago Blackhawks. We're chatting with Marty Turco here on a Campbell versus Gallo. My producer at Jimmy G, he kept telling me, he's like, can you please ask Marty Turco what it was like backing up Eddie Belfour?
I hear that once in a while. It was, you know, I learned a lot. I mean, some good, some bad. The guy was a gamer, and he didn't practice very much, which was awesome for me, especially when I was my first 2 years. I was the third goalie for the Cup run teams, and basically was on the ice the whole time, every practice. He was really never out there, so that was great. And the backing him up, you know, he had such a good run. He was, you know, arguably the best goalie in the world at that time in 99. We won the Cup, and almost again in 2000. Just got to see him work and work it, and the team and the organization gave him so much respect. I was like, I never complained once. I mean, you know, wish I'd played a few more games, or the 1 year where he wasn't playing well, as last year in Dallas. I probably should have played more and got us into the playoffs. But I was just always under the impression, like, hey, if I hope I can get this kind of respect one day through my play, that'd be great. So, you know, there's the last year he never talked to me, not once. You know, his writing was on the wall that I was there to take his job, and he wasn't playing good. I was playing great, and it was 10 years, you know, his junior. So I've seen some things that would be pretty good in the book. But he was, you know, like I said, learn a lot. Good, learn some bad, learn what to do, learn what not to do. But I'll tell you, when the lights came on, that guy knew how to play goalie.
And at 11690, we have great listeners that send in messages throughout the show. And this is something I'm not too familiar with, so maybe you can help me out. Andy from Pierrefonds writes in, Mitch, can you ask Marty Turco a question? How did he develop the Turco break for his pads? I play goalie, and I always thought it was an incredible innovation to close the five hole. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, even the things you asked me about being proud of, probably the Turco grip is something that I'm super proud of now. You know, I turned my hand over. It was the first guy to ever do it. Kind of stumbled on it by accident in practice. I'll get to the break in a second. But seeing that every goalie, pretty much every goalie in the world, shoots the puck the way I do if they shoot it at all. And so when they make good breakout passes or hit their D up the wall or spring a winger for breakaway with that grip, I'm looking at the TV like a proud parent, you know. I'm like, you're welcome. And so that's one thing I'm certainly proud of. But for the Turco break, I went to see, you know, the godfather, one of the godfathers, Lefebvre, when I was starting to wear Reebok. And you know, I wasn't, my butterfly, my legs, you know, just couldn't internally rotate. And so I didn't have a great butterfly like some guys do with my hips. And I needed the coverage in the five-hole, like this guy's talking about, to close it and make it flat a little bit. And so when I went up there, you know, the pads are, he was making pads like they're made today, just a straight line, and guys go down and things covered because they got a great butterfly. Well, I was, like I said, not that guy. And so I needed a third break, and I didn't speak French, and, you know, Mr. Lefebvre didn't speak English, and we're arguing with the hand gestures about what I needed. And Reebok wanted to sign me, and he was making the pads, and he said he needs a whole new machine for this Turco break. I'm like, well, then make a new machine. I'm just telling you what I want and what I need in order to wear this stuff. And so when they made that break, I could care less, but they'd actually put a little tag on there that said the Turco break. And so every time you walked into a sporting goods store and there's Reebok pads there, it said Turco break on them. Some of them didn't have it, you know, like Luongo and those guys didn't use the break, but I know some appreciate it afterwards. But I just needed it to curve in a little bit because I couldn't go, I couldn't flare out the legs like some guys did. And, but you know, you got to do what you got to do in order to stop the puck and stay in the game.
There's your answer, Andy. We're chatting with Marty Turco here on Campbell versus Gallo. You're so involved in the game still, whether it's your work on television or your work with the foundation with the Stars. Do you still pay specific attention to goalies?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't go out of my way, but certainly I'm watching the highlights. I'm watching the game. I'm watching the goalies. That's definite. I just think that they've, one hand, they're such crude. They're so big, and they're great. There's some guys, great athleticism. Do wish, you know, some guys still played the puck pretty good. But there are some really good guys can really move it. But yeah, I kind of pay attention. I think I still. And I have to wrestle with it all the time. I'm like, do I gravitate towards the older guys because of the way they play or because I played against them or I know them? And, like, watching Bobrovsky in the playoffs last year, this year, pretty much his whole career when he's in Columbus and I played against him, like, the guy just – he just tracks the puck. And the one thing that bugs me is that some of these younger guys, they don't track the puck as well. And that's part of the way they play, too, is, like, just move, play the odds and percentages or whatever, get hit, you know. But I'm like, I don't know what the puck is, you know. And anyway, like maybe I just something I don't know, right? And anyway, I do pay attention to them, and it's been a fun evolution of watching these guys, equipment, the way they move, the VH and all that stuff. Something I don't understand, but I do understand greatness, and I do understand the pressure that goes with that position. And like Daryl Ray, our new Hall of Fame. NHL Hall of Fame announcer in Dallas, he always says, right, like, good goaltending is a big part of the game, because with bad goaltending, is everything. If you got a bad goalie one night, you got no chance. So there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, and I just cherished and every moment that I had to give my team a chance to win.
Just based on your description, I'm going to assume that you really enjoyed watching Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a smile on his face the whole time, which is the best part of Mark. I think his longevity, his style, when I look at the position, I hold Marc-Andre really high because you can just tell, you don't have to talk to his teammates, which I know a lot of them. He made his teammates better. And what happened in Vegas really bummed me out because it wasn't like some other stalwart came in there that was had their accolades or charisma or even, I don't know, big game presence like he did. And, I mean, yeah, they're a good team, and they had some good goalies along the way, but Marc-Andre, man, he was just tracking it. He's high-flying, fun, on and off the ice, but the best thing I ever heard about Mark is the way he practiced and challenges guys and stayed out there forever to make them better. And that's a true sign of a winner, and that's what he is, and he'll go in the Hall of Fame, you know, that kind of guy.
And before we let you go, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us, especially with how outspoken you are about a lot of different topics. I know it's a bit of a sensitive situation in Dallas with the Stars, but as a goalie, how did you see the discourse between Pete DeBoer and Jake Oettinger at the end of the playoffs?
Well, you don't have to ask me. Just see who's got a contract, who doesn't. You know, I was sitting at the game in the owner's box, and I mean, I didn't think of the bigger ramifications at the time. Like, we play this game to win. Pete coaches to win. Jake goes to net to win. The guys go there to win hockey games. And Pete thought at the time that that was the right thing to do. He might do it again. I mean, knowing what he knows now, maybe not. But the thing that people don't realize, right, is that he made a decision the best to have his team chance to win, in his opinion. And the problem is, in this day and age, I mean, just in sports in general, really, you got to win that game. And it would be different if they won that game, right, and put Jake back in there for game seven. But they didn't win the game, and then you got to face the consequences. Welcome to pro sports, people.
Marty, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a lot of fun watching the Dallas Stars. It was a lot of fun watching you play, and it's been even better chatting with you today. So thank you.
Well, thanks for reaching out. Yeah, you got my email number. Like I said, Montreal is the grand poobah of hockey, and I got friends in Dallas who are like, where should we go watch a game? I'm like, Montreal. That is the place. So appreciate you having me on. Hopefully we'll do it again.
Thank you so much. There is Marty Turco, kind enough to join us here on Campbell versus Gallo. Coming up next on Campbell versus Gallo, we continue with the hockey talk. We'll go around the league at some of the news and notes, including a big college player that was traded from Tampa Bay to Edmonton last night. We're going to be chatting with Dave McCarthy of the NHL Network.